Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies, Ken Baird speaking. Today we are going to continue in our current series of studies, Spiritual Beauties. And will you that listen to this program regularly, please bear with me once more while I read Webster's Collegiate Dictionary definition of beauty for the benefit of those who may have tuned into the program for the first time today. Webster defines beauty: an assemblage of perfections through which an object is rendered pleasing to the eye. Those qualities in the aggregate that give pleasure to the aesthetic sense, any quality that delights the eye, ear, or mind, loveliness, elegance, grace, a particular ornament, that which is beautiful, a beautiful person. And you know I'm going to stop right there in the Webster definition of beauty and talk about that beautiful person, for today, with the help of the Lord, we wish to speak of the beauty of the King in that coming day when he comes to this earth to reign over this earth for 1,000 years. The beauty of the Lord, how wonderful it really is. Now, we've already considered the beauty of the Lord, his moral beauties, but this is the beauties of the King. This is just a little different order. We started out with the beauty of the Lord, the beauty of holiness, the beauty of old age, and today, with the help of the Lord, the beauty of the King, and then, next broadcast, with the help of the Lord, the beauty of the Lord's compensations. All right, now let's think of the beauty of the coming King. There is a wonderful verse in the book of Isaiah, chapter 33 and verse 17, that reads like this: "Thine eyes shall see the King in his beauty. They shall behold the land that is very far off." This prophecy is given to those godly Jewish people who lived in Isaiah's time and who would not see this prophecy fulfilled except they died, and then they would see it in a future day. But they're going to see it. But some of his people, those in this world today, are going to see the King, their Messiah, come in his beauty. Now we read in Matthew chapter 24 and verses 26 and 27 these words. Well, we'll just read verse 27. "For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Thine eyes shall see the King in his beauty. They shall behold the land that is very far off." And then we read in verse 31 of chapter 25, and the Lord here is the speaker. He's speaking to his disciples. "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory." Now in the first advent, the first coming of our Lord Jesus Christ to earth, which we are all acquainted with, and we read in the scriptures, that first coming was coming, he came in humility. And he was not accepted. We read in Isaiah chapter 53 the fact that the Lord was not accepted the first time he came. We read there, "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. When we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." Now, if you please, this is his first advent. He came in humility. He did not come to establish his kingdom in his first advent. He came to redeem us from our sins by dying on the cross to take away our sins. And that was why they couldn't see the beauty of our Lord Jesus Christ. So few realized who he was when he came the first time. He was born in a manger. He came, he was born of a virgin, as according to prophecy. Indeed, but here we continue, there's no beauty that we should desire him. They didn't see his beauty. They only saw his humility. But he came to redeem us from our sins, and he went to the cross. God sent his begotten, only begotten Son to the cross to die on that cross for you and me, to take away our sins so that we could be with him in heaven forever. Sin is a barrier. God could not take us into heaven with our sins. We could not put them away. And God put them away by giving his Son to accept the judgment of God that was due to you and me, that our sins might be atoned for. God cannot set aside his holiness. He must honor it. Sin must be punished. But the beauty of it is, God punished Christ for you and for me. But oh, he came in that humility the first time. But the Lord promised his second coming when he established his kingdom. There it is spoken of in the judgment of the living nations in Matthew chapter 25. And we read there, certainly, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, all the holy angels shall then sit upon the throne. He shall then, with all his holy angels with him, he shall sit upon the throne of his glory. And that beautiful coming of our Lord Jesus Christ that is ahead of us, that is going to happen when he comes to assume the kingdom king in the millennial reign of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Isaiah also gives us some wonderful verses. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. And we read there, "For unto us Jewish people, a child is born, unto us a son is given." Christ as a child was born, but as a son he was given by the Heavenly Father. "And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end." Now here, let's see the beauty of the Lord as revealed particularly in his titles. His name shall be called Wonderful. Even in his humility, pardon me, they had to say, "Never man spake like this man." In John chapter 7, verse 46, we read there about the officers that the Pharisees sent to take the Lord Jesus. They were incensed. This humble Galilean was getting the crowds to follow him, such crowds as the Pharisees were not privileged to see in their teaching. And they sent the officers to apprehend the Lord Jesus and bring him in. They wanted to condemn him. Well, they went and listened to him. They listened to the Lord a while, and they came back without him. And the Pharisees said, "Why have you not brought him?" And they said of our Lord Jesus Christ, "Never man spake like this man." Oh, they saw his moral beauties the first time, but not his resplendent beauties, his beauties that are revealed to you and me. Now, he's called Wonderful, and he was wonderful in his life right down here. He's Counselor. His name is Counselor. His title is Counselors. His teachers have shaped the course of time and eternity, his teachings, rather. In the Sermon on the Mount, it has been said to be the most sublime example of literature in the English language. The Lord Jesus is a teacher supreme. He's a counselor. He's the mighty God. God was manifest in human flesh. He was God and man in the same person. And his miracles alone should have convinced those Jewish people of that day that he was all he claimed to be. But they didn't believe him. They said his title is the Everlasting Father. He can say, "I and my Father are one," in John chapter 10 and verse 30. He says that, makes that statement. "I and my Father are one." Philip asked him, "Show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." Jesus saith unto him, "Have I been so long time with you, and thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen my Father." Seen the Father, rather. "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? But the Father that dwelleth in me doeth the works." Here our Lord Jesus Christ says, we're in the Godhead together. The same life is in the Godhead, all three members of the Trinity. I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. And so he is called here in Isaiah. The wonderful title is given to him, the Everlasting Father. And then he's called the Prince of Peace. We read in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20, there where Paul writes to the Colossians, says, "And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they things be in earth, be as things in earth, or things in heaven. And the Lord Jesus Christ was the very example of peace. He was the author of peace. He himself says in John 14:27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Paul writes in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 16, the Lord of peace himself shall give you peace always. By all means, the Lord be with you all. He is the author of peace. He is the founder of peace. He bought it with the blood of his cross. Now let's consider a little the beauty of the millennial kingdom. And we read in the 11th chapter of Isaiah, there of that coming kingdom, where we read in chapter 11 and verse 2, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, that's on Christ, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. He shall make him of quick understanding. In the fear of the Lord he shall not judge with the sight of his eyes, neither reprove with the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove the equity with equity the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Now our Lord Jesus Christ is going to sit on the throne, millennial throne, and is going to stop that terrible course of sin. The whole earth is going to be changed. And that beautiful earth, and it's going to be a beautiful earth, the animal kingdom is going to be changed. We read, and the cow and the bear shall feed. The young ones shall lie down, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox. The suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. Wonderful days are ahead of this world, in this world, for those that know our Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming to reign, and the beauty of the King, this time they're going to see the beauty. The first time he came in humility, and they didn't say, we see his beauty. They said there's no beauty that we should desire him. But the second time he comes, they're going to see the beauties of his glory. And those beauties are wonderful. We haven't seen them yet. How can we talk about them? We haven't seen the beauties of his glory. But believe me, they're coming in that wonderful day ahead of us. I want, and I will be there, and I want everybody listening to this broadcast to close in with him so that you can share that millennial reign of our Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on him. Take him as your Savior. Father, help us, stir us up to see the beauties of our Lord Jesus even now. In his name we pray. Amen.